Welcome to this God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. Our God is the God of the nations, King of kings, believers proclaim, head of the church. Even as God of the nations and King of kings, our God cares for you. Out of the depths of God comes love for you, which he proved by sending his Son Jesus who lived among us, taking on the form of a servant, a teacher, a traveling teacher. Today we learn more about the Heavenly Father, the teachings of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We always have an affirmation of faith, and today's is from Titus in the third chapter. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. The reading of God's word for today is from the letter of Jude. There is only one chapter, so verses 17 through 21. And the little title, which is not part of the Bible, but the little title above, says, A Call to Persevere. The apostle wrote, But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, In the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love so as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Today, we are going to talk about anger, and we're going to talk about sin, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. As I think you know, if you've heard any of my recent sermons, I've been really angry since last May 22nd, when Pastor John Lowe of Warsaw, Indiana, stood before his congregation and confessed to an affair 20 years earlier. Minutes later, the truth came out. It wasn't an affair. Pastor John Lowe began sexually abusing a 16-year-old member of his congregation. And it went on at least 8 years. As bad as that was, there were additional bad abuses. Pastor John Lowe's son, John Jr., had abused his wife, and when she went to his parents, they did nothing. Now, four women have come forward reporting as victims of sexual abuse in that congregation, and that was May 22nd this year. Then May 26th of this year, the Southern Baptist Convention published their report of crimes and abuses of some 500 Southern Baptist pastors, many of whom continued to serve congregations after their crimes of abuse. The Southern Baptist report is 205 pages long and lists 500 pastors. The Southern Baptist Convention is the largest Protestant denomination in our country. The list covers the last 15 years, and the report confesses that the report is not complete. That was May 26th. And I've been angry ever since. And as you know, our own local area has not been free of these sinful crimes. Sinful crimes committed by clergy serving churches. Both of those pastors are in prison. I'm still angry about all this. And it's okay for me to be angry. You see, I tend to see all the pastors and all the churches on the same side. We're all fighting evil in the world. We are all, as the apostle wrote, our struggle. The apostle even uses the plural. Our struggle is against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 6:12. Every translation says so too. Our struggle. We wrestle. We are fighting. So some days I picture us at the Alamo. Since none of us is going to get out of this alive, but we continue to fight. But I hear and read these reports, and I'm thinking that I'm fighting with all I've got, and those pastors on the other wall of the Alamo haven't even picked up a rifle. They're actually helping the enemy over the wall into the fort. So yes, I'm still angry. And it's okay for me to be angry. The same letter of the apostle who states we are fighting spiritual forces of evil also states, be angry, but do not sin. We all want to remember that anger is energy and anger is power. So we want to channel our anger and empower some good work or some good cause. I can confess that I haven't worked too hard on that yet. You know, you can confess also with me that sometimes you want to enjoy your anger, or you simply don't want to face your anger. So nothing happens. Or at least nothing good can happen if you just try to forget your anger. I'm going to say that all again. I can confess that I haven't worked too hard on this problem of my anger. And you know, and you can confess also with me, that sometimes you want to enjoy your anger or you simply don't want to face your anger. So nothing happens. Or at least nothing good can happen if you just try to forget your anger. Now, I want you to bracket all that I've said for a moment as we look to today's God's Word. The apostle wrote, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. For certain individuals have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. These people are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. Isn't the situation that the apostle describes exactly as I have described these crimes of the clergy that so anger me? Now, I'm sure that whenever I read this letter of Jude, I assumed that the situation described was talking about things that happened a long time ago, that they would not happen again in my lifetime. This would never happen with clergy who have the Bible in one hand and the gospel message in the other. I never thought that this letter of Jude was not history, although it is history, but I never dreamed that the book of Jude was also prophecy. That the apostle would describe in words 2,000 years old a situation in our town this year. 2022. The two local clergy in jail. So I will continue to channel my energy into some good. But I don't want to work on curing these wounds that these clergy caused. I want to prevent the pain and wounds that these clergymen have caused. And I just notice that I believe all these perpetrators are men. All of these criminals are men. I did later find one woman who was a teacher in a Christian school. Still, there may be a point of discussion here. One of the problems with these men, I hesitate to call these men clergy, and certainly they are not pastors. These men, especially those men who have preyed upon young people and children, choose to forget they are the only adult in that situation. A couple of years ago, Andy Savage, a pastor in Tennessee, was accused of sexually assaulting a 17-year-old girl. Years later, he would claim that the sex was consensual. Sir, the sex is not consensual when you are 22 and your victim is 17. You are 22 years old and you are the young woman's youth leader. There is no consent possible. When I studied psychology in college, we looked at the issue of consent quite a bit. When there is a difference in age and status, there is no consent. When you are president of the Southern Baptist Convention and you can decide the job or career of a woman's pastor husband, the woman is supposed to slap the president of the Southern Baptist Convention when the president begins to make moves on the married woman? There can be no consent in that situation, even between adults. That situation has also been reported in the open. The president of the largest Protestant denomination in this country, he's now a former president, but he was president when he assaulted that pastor's wife. But this reflects part of the problem with Protestants in America. Although we are Protestants and Martin Luther taught and emphasized to us all 500 years ago about everyone in the congregation having the Holy Spirit, but still 500 years later, some members of the congregation continue to place clergy somehow higher on the spiritual scale. For some reason, we place church leaders on a higher spiritual level. Spiritual leaders do not belong on a different level than the rest of the congregation. It's one thing I always appreciated about the Christian churches. Clergy came from the congregation. The pastor is a preaching elder, not the head elder. I told a person last week, "Do not put me on a pedestal." And I told her, "Do you know why you shouldn't put me on a pedestal? Because I will fall off. I will fall off, and I've got enough knee problems already." Look at what the apostle said 2,000 years ago, verse 19. "These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit." The apostle even claims that by their behavior, these so-called shepherds of Jesus' flock don't even have the Holy Spirit. Wow. The apostle is saying, you shepherds are not just failing. You so-called shepherds are not even part of the church. You are not one of us. You do not have the Holy Spirit. That's quite an indictment of those so-called spiritual leaders. The apostle then addresses the congregation. "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, you, the faithful, Build yourselves up in faith, in the Holy Spirit, praying. The apostle's letter is addressed to those who have been called. He's not talking about the spiritual leadership. He's not talking about the church leadership. When he's talking about those who are called, it's those in the congregation. To those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. He's talking about everybody else in the church, not the leadership. Keep yourselves in God's love, verse 21. Remain in the Holy Spirit as you already are. Leaders of organizations who want to help congregations who have suffered, these so-called clergymen, have not exercised their Holy Spirit authority. One of the leaders of that organization said, "The pastor is still going to be seen as someone who needs to be revered, especially if it's a very pastor-centered kind of church." And so what happens is, as we saw with the Southern Baptists, the victims tend to get left in the dust or blamed for having pulled the pastor away from his ministry calling. But friends, as the apostle wrote, the sin is not so much a character flaw or a momentary failure. It's an indication the person lacks the Holy Spirit. The executive director stated further, "Churches tend to see pastoral misconduct as sin rather than an abuse of power. So if a pastor confesses his sins, the church is prone toward forgiveness and is tempted to move on, find ways to return the pastor to leadership, rather than dealing with the harm the pastor's actions caused. And therefore, the pastor might deal with his sexual problems, but not deal with his misuse of his status as a leader." This is what got one of my hero pastors fired from his church. He demonstrated behavior not fitting for a Jesus follower. Another pastor at the Alamo with me, he demonstrated behavior not fitting for a Jesus follower. He was firing on our own men at the wall. He was fired. But this being America, with non-denominational churches, the man moved to another part of the Alamo wall, continues to do the same thing. And as long as it appears that the pastor's fighting the enemy, he'll stay in that church until the numbers of wounded inside the fort start building up around him. There's a ministry called Like the Master Ministries. Like the Master Ministries reminds the faithful of this. A common accusation made to those who call leadership to justice is that Jesus taught us not to judge others. They miss Jesus' point. The congregation or the elders are not called to judge the position of pastor, but Scripture clearly teaches that we have the responsibility to evaluate the character and conduct of others inside the church. The ministry gave an example. Years ago, a pastor told the church leadership team that he wanted to be the number one leader. He proceeded to tell the leaders that if anyone disagreed with him, they were disagreeing with the Holy Spirit. What he failed to see was the pride in his own life. He violated 1 Timothy 3:6. He failed to see the log in his own eye. Pride can be a problem in the leadership. Pastor Gary says, if the Holy Spirit is in question, well, then it's time for discernment of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4 and 1 Corinthians 12. As the apostle stated, the Holy Spirit will help you in your prayers. Jim Davis of Orlando Grace Church said it this way, "Confronting a church leader is always difficult, but God will grant you the words and the courage. Remember, he cares about his church even more than you do. One of the hardest things in church life is to confront and reprove someone for their inappropriate actions. Pastor Gary would add that if the Holy Spirit is calling you to point to the sin, do so as Jesus taught. We've covered this. But if the Holy Spirit is pushing you, you dare not refuse the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So what's the answer to my anger? Well, you are. You, the Church of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in you. That's the answer. You are the answer to my anger. Jesus' own words, John 16, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak." Our Lord also said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Jesus' own words. And finally, our North Carolina churches will help us accurately translate this verse. "But you know the Spirit of truth, for he dwells with you and will be in you all." You know the Spirit of truth, for he dwells with you and will be in you all. You all. You know the Spirit of truth, for he dwells with you and will be in you all. He is within all of you. That is my hope. And that is yours. Amen.